Hey, finance folk. My name is Leidos Polubinskas, and we are going to talk about the Anti-Money Laundering Agency today. Back in July of 2021, the European Commission presented an ambitious package of legislative proposals to strengthen the EU's anti-money laundering and countering the financing of terrorism rules. We're going to call that AML-CFT. The package also includes a proposal for the creation of a new EU authority to fight money laundering. It is part of the Commission's commitment to protect EU citizens and the EU's financial system from money laundering and terrorist financing. It hasn't started its work yet because it's still being built. I don't mean the building, I mean the agency itself. Sounds like a big load on someone's shoulders, and I wouldn't know where to start. Luckily, we've got experts for that. I've asked Olena Loboyko to join me today. She is an expert policy officer in the EU Commission's Anti-Money Laundering Unit, and she was there in the negotiations between the Council and the European Parliament to get the regulation adopted. Okay, let's see if we can iron this out and see how it unfolds. Hi, Olena. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Aidis. Thank you for having me.
Okay, let's jump straight into it. Back in 2021, the Commission proposed a new anti-money laundering package, which we have discussed in a previous podcast, which, of course, I'll put the link into the show notes. But interestingly, in the EU proposal, the future anti-money laundering authority didn't take center stage. It did take center stage during the negotiations between Parliament and the Council. So this is what really interested me. What is the Anti-Money Laundering Authority, or AMLA, as we're going to call it, and why do we need it?
Good question. I think there are two distinct questions rolled into one. The first one being, why did it take the center stage during negotiations? And the second one, well, what it is all about. The answer to why it got so much media attention and political attention is that the AMLA component of our package of proposals is an institutional reform. We have taken certain powers that currently belong to national authorities at national level, elevated them to the EU level. We have created certain powers of oversight and enforcement vis-a-vis national authorities at EU level. And we had changed the dynamic of interaction between national authorities and cooperation between national authorities. Any reform that combines these elements inevitably attracts a lot of attention, at least from certain type of stakeholders. But its relative importance comparing to other parts of our legislative package is a bit in the eye of the beholder. So if you would ask the industry, they would probably tell you that the rule book is quite a bit more interesting and impactful for them, which is understandable. So that's the answer to the first part of the question. But to what it is all about and what AMLA is about, what we essentially set out to do is to create a more integrated, centralized, and uniform institutional framework in the area of AML, which, by virtue of being more centralized and integrated, is expected to be both more effective and more efficient than the current patchwork of national institutions that we have in the area.
Okay, so we need it in order to streamline stuff, to make it more centralized so that there's like more harmonization, as we love to say, in the EU, right?
Correct.
Got it. Okay. Okay, so what will AMLA do to step up the fight against financial crime, and how is it going to be managed? How many staff members is it going to have? Is this going to be a behemoth? How are they going to be recruited? And most importantly for the citizens, who's going to pay for it?
That's indeed a lot of questions.
Yeah,
rolled into one. You shall be reminding me. Okay, let's take them one by one. First of all, in terms of fighting financial crime, how is it going to help? It is going to help by preventing financial crime from happening in the first place. and by helping to detect financial crime better in more instances and more effectively. Now, when we think about fighting financial crime, the picture that springs to mind is about uncovering some criminal organization and arresting the criminals and seizing their assets. And that is decidedly not what AMLA and our framework, by extension, are all about. So we are squarely in the area of prevention. And I am putting such an emphasis on this because prevention is something that is much more difficult to gauge in terms of effectiveness and attaching some KPIs to its future success a few years down the road. But I think the colleagues in FISMA would understand the added value of prevention. And I'm going to draw an analogy when we think about, for example, prudential banking supervision and resolution. It is about preventing banks from failing and or failing in a disorderly manner that would endanger financial stability or create market shocks. So similarly, in terms of the effectiveness of prevention for fighting financial crime, what we are aiming to do and what our strategy is to make sure that there is a reputation of the union institutions and union financial system as too robust for the criminals to even attempt to abuse it. So that's what we're setting out to do.
Well, that totally makes sense. I mean, like the analogy that I would draw would be health or medicine. There's an old English language adage of an ounce of prevention is worth a ton of medicine.
Treatment.
Of treatment. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So on to your next questions. How is it going to be managed? So it will, depending on the type of decisions to be taken, they will be taken by different governing bodies. Whenever the policy relates to the financial intelligence units, it will be taken, the decisions will be taken by the general board in FIU composition. If it relates to the supervision, the decisions or the regulatory measures are going to be adopted by the general board in supervisory composition. But we have another bulk of decisions that are quite important. So those are the decisions in direct supervision of obliged entities and decisions towards individual authorities and administrative decisions relating to the budget and the staffing and organization structure of the authority. All of those decisions are going to be taken by a smaller executive board, which is going to be composed of the chair and five more independent members. And when I'm saying independent, what I mean is that those persons are not going to be representing any national authorities. So being a member of the executive board is going to be a full-time job. And the analogy I would use here is that of the single resolution board. So the status of these people is going to be essentially identical to the members of the executive session of the single resolution board being completely independent. And we thought that that's the optimal balance considering the tasks of the authority, which are in two big areas, the supervision and indeed coordination and support of financial intelligence units, which links to what I mentioned in the area of detection of crime.
Okay, so we've got the member states participating through the FIUs. We've got an executive board that is running they're like the
policy.
Yeah, exactly, the policy of the agency. What about the people that are going to be working the day-to-day, the nitty-gritty stuff? How are they going to be recruited? When are they going to be recruited?
I guess we can go back to the question of the total numbers. So we expect that in order for this authority to carry out the tasks that we envisaged over the horizon of around 4 years, it has to reach a total number of around 430 persons. They will be dedicated to various tasks of the authority. And if we're talking, for example, specifically about the direct supervision, those people, so staff of the authority, are going to be working very closely together with the staff of the national supervisors. So there we modeled ourselves upon the SSM, where supervision of any given entity is conducted in the so-called joint supervisory teams. that have a core team from AMLA and then also staff of the national authority. However, all the decisions towards a supervised entity are going to be taken by the executive board.
Okay. So I wouldn't sound like a proper podcaster or a journalist or, you know, a hard-hitting person if I didn't ask, who's going to pay for all this?
Right. There will be two sources of funding depending on the tasks of the authority. Part of the tasks are going to be funded directly from the union budget, and those would be all the tasks related to support and coordination of the financial intelligence units. Also, the tasks of coordination in the non-financial sector and policymaking. All the tasks related to direct supervision of obliged entities in the financial sector and indirect supervision, also in the financial sector, are going to be funded by the fees from the financial sector obliged entities. And there, we are simply following the best practices and the model at both national and EU level. Supervision is customarily funded by contributions from the industries. All the tasks related to, you know, producing financial intelligence and detecting crime is funded by public, and that's why we have left it for the funding of the union. That was in the proposal, and this distribution is something that the co-legislators have also agreed upon.
Understood. Okay, now earlier you kind of debunked this sort of romantic vision that I had in my head of people in dark blue or dark black jackets with AMLA on the back swooping in and arresting people that are laundering money, but obviously that's not the case. So who concretely are the authorities AMLA going to supervise if it's not the mafiosi that are laundering money?
Right. So in terms of supervision, there's a distinction between direct supervision. So there, AMLA's powers is going to be directed towards actual businesses, so legal entities, and that is supervision of their compliance with AML rules. So this obliged entities that AMLA will supervise shall be from the financial sector. So think about asset managers or banks or other financial institutions. But with respect to the national public authorities, AMLA will also have certain oversight powers and watchdog powers, similarly to the ESAs. And when I'm talking about public authorities, that is both in the area of supervision and FIUs. So the actual AML supervisors and the financial intelligence units. And AMLA's tasks with regard to those is to make sure that they all have common supervisory approaches of sufficiently high level and high quality. So those are what we call convergence tasks.
Okay, got it. Okay, you mentioned national supervisors and financial intelligence units, FIUs, again. And so what's interesting to me at this point is we know that they're going to have an impact on the executive board, and they're also going to be involved in the day-to-day running. But how are they going to work with the new authority? How are they going to interact with it on a day-to-day level?
First of all, these national authorities are going to be represented in this general board of AMLA that we had discussed. So when it comes to policymaking and regulation, AMLA are the national authorities, right? When we're talking about supervision, the joint supervisory teams means the staff members of AMLA and the staff members of national supervisors are essentially going to be on a day-to-day basis conducting the supervision of obliged entities together. In addition, there will be other tasks and work streams where AMLA is interacting with staff members or representatives of national authorities. For example, when they need to measure the convergence of supervisory practices and they organize peer reviews. So national supervisors are going to get together in AMLA at AMLA's premises and agree on the terms of reference of what are they going to assess and measure And then the AMLA staff may be conducting an on-site at this national authorities to verify their practices and reach some conclusions in order to potentially take some recommendations or measures vis-a-vis individual authorities on how they can improve or distill some best practices and share them within the supervisory community. But in practice, essentially at the meetings of the relevant governing bodies, so the general board in appropriate composition.
Mm-hmm. So again, I'm hearing that this is, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's not a top-down process, it's a bottom-up process where the member states are actively involved in how things are being decided and how things are going to move forward.
Yes, actually you hit the nail on the head in a sense that what we're trying to create is really an integrated system. It's not a watchdog and the authorities that it sort of supervises without being able to impact the supervisory processes or the FIU processes. It is AMLA being a center of the system and all these national authorities working together and deciding together on how to improve their practices and how to make their controls and their tasks more robust.
Got it. Okay. Now for my last question, usually it's just a single question, but in this case, because you've noticed, I like to wrap more than one into the questions. The first part is going to be non-controversial. The second part is going to be a little bit provocative because, well, I'm Lithuanian and, well, you'll understand when I ask the question. So the first part is, when is AMLA going to start its work? And the second part of the question is, why is it located or was it going to be located in Frankfurt, Germany, instead of Vilnius, for example?
Good questions. First one is easier, yes. AMLA will be formally legally established as soon or specifically 7 days after the regulation is published in official journal, which is expected now between and June to mid-July. However, it will have a whole year to set itself up before it starts actually carrying out the tasks envisaged for it in a regulation. So during that year, we still have the European Banking Authority, which still has a mandate in AML area and can continue some strands of work, specifically with respect to developing policy and regulation. So this year is meant to be as a buffer year for the startup phase until AMLA is able to recruit sufficient number of people, really, of relevant profiles to carry out the tasks. With respect to the second part of your question of why AMLA is going to be located in Frankfurt, I would say because Frankfurt had a very robust bid, which is objectively meeting the criteria that both co-legislators expected from the seat of the authority. Now, actually, we had a bit of a luxury problem because towards the second part of your question, why not Vilnius? The truth is that all the offers of the member states that proposed their candidacy to host AMLA were good. So it was a matter a bit of a taste and preference, but not so much of the commission, but more of the co-legislators. Frankfurt, both co-legislators agreed as a robust choice. Mm-hmm. It is true that it was more of a preference of the council that managed to get a bit more consolidated position on picking specifically Frankfurt in a voting process. But again, from the perspective of the commission, it was a good choice and we have no reservations about it.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you can't really argue with the council and with the European Parliament. I know it was a provocative question. The reason I asked it is because I was, of course, totally behind the Vilnius bid because Vilnius is a great town. But yeah, Frankfurt makes total sense. And it makes sense that it took political agreement, both in the council and the European Parliament, to get this done. So, since that's my final question, I'm going to say thank you very much, Olena, for coming in and for giving me a good lesson in what AMLA is about, what it's going to do, and when it's going to get started. So thanks for dropping by.
Thank you, Aidas. The pleasure was all mine.
Okay, here's my take on this. The EU's anti-money laundering and countering the financing of terrorism authority, AMLA, will be the central authority coordinating national authorities to ensure the correct and consistent application of EU rules. In the financial sector, the authority will directly supervise those financial sector entities exposed to the highest risk of money laundering and terrorism financing. AMLA will also support financial intelligence units, FIUs, to improve their analytical capacity around illicit flows and make financial intelligence a key source for law enforcement agencies. The authority will facilitate cooperation between FIUs, including by establishing standards for reporting and information exchange, supporting joint operational analysis, and by hosting the central online system, FIU.net. So, in a nutshell, the fight against money laundering is about to get even better, more effective, and with better cooperation. That's it for today. Thanks for joining me. Do please tell others about the podcast. Like and subscribe. Bye.